If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to another episode of But Why, but this is something a bit different. It's a condensed version. It's our favourite conversations about tricky subjects, revisited and reduced into bite-sized chunks.
Gosh, yeah, I'm
feeling the pressure now, guys. Yeah, Jesus, I'm the one who's now got to do an interview.
That's for your top
tips.
We'll mark you out of 10 yeah. at the end.
Oh, God. Hello and welcome to another episode of But Why, the podcast that's all about digging into big questions and tricky topics by honest conversations. This week we're going to be looking at trauma. It's actually hilarious that I said that in a sing-songy voice when trauma is not that. And I'm going to be talking to Dr. Sarah Woodhouse. Sarah is a research psychologist, trauma specialist, author, coach and creator of the Freedom Process. Sarah researched trauma as an academic funded by the Medical Research Council for 11 years. She still researches trauma today, but now uses her work to create cutting-edge resources to help people heal. Her book, You're Not Broken, I always feel obliged to kind of put this on camera now, but that's only useful if you're watching the video, but You're Not Broken, Break Free from Trauma and Reclaim Your Life is a gentle but useful guide to doing just that. And more importantly, Sarah and I both went to school together. I think the last time we saw each other was around about the year 2000. And excitingly or controversially, Sarah went on to marry a guy from the boys' school over the road. So that for when I say her surname, that is extremely loaded for me because I know her husband. And now you're a legit doctor. I think Miss Wainwright and the other teachers would be
Miss Wainwright.
She was terrifying, wasn't she?
Oh, God, I'd forgotten.
She was terrifying.
Oh, I was coming out in cold sweats.
Yeah.
She was terrifying, yeah. She was completely terrifying.
But she'd be very proud of you, I think. You're a doctor.
I think so. Who knows? She never looked that happy to me.
No, but at the time at school, the only person they were kind of reeling out as the like alumni from the hire is Linda Bellingham, who is the actress in the the OXO adverts.
Oh, so good. Yeah. Yeah, well, I have a history of trauma. So, and for that, for me, that looks like relational trauma. So primarily it was molestation when I was young. And I have, again, it's that silence, you know, reacting and having such a strong reaction to it internally, but not telling anyone. And then going to this huge school, I just went into freefall. You know, the bulimia started almost as soon as I got there.
Really?
I couldn't cope. And that's what I, you know, this is what I work in now is helping people understand that if you have a relational trauma, so if the trauma happened within the context of a relationship, which so much childhood trauma is, right? Mm-hmm. If you think about what's going on in the home, family dysfunction, all of that kind of stuff, it's often relational. So the outcome of that is that you find relationships really, really, really hard. So I thought I was going mad. I just can't do this. I can't make friends. I don't get it. I just had overwhelming anxiety. At the thought of needing to be friends with someone and just how do I do it? I don't understand how I do it. And of course, you know, as I've got older, I've understood what that's about and what mechanisms were going on. But as we've said, you know, it wasn't the time when you spoke about how you felt, and it certainly wasn't a time for me when I was able to find the language to say what had happened. So I spiraled to, I don't know if that even sums it up. It started with bulimia. Quickly, I was very, very anorexic by the age of about 19. And then a lot of the stuff that comes along with that. So very dysfunctional drinking, very dysfunctional relationships, you know, romantic relationships, I mean, panic attacks. It just wasn't pretty. It really wasn't. And then interestingly, we met Neil at Glastonbury. He was with Johnny Hurd. Do you remember Johnny Hurd?
Yeah.
They were at Glastonbury together and I walked past, I think he was charging his phone. And that was almost the beginning of me moving out of it because I met someone I felt safe with. because I suppose in part because there was a history there, because at school Neil and I had been really good mates, really, really genuinely good. I mean, everyone was friends with Neil. I don't know if you remember that, but we were good friends. And I think I saw him. So it was the first time I'd had a romantic relationship where I knew someone's history. I could picture him at 11 getting on the bus. And it just, there was a safety to it that I hadn't experienced with any other men. And that was probably the beginning of me getting well, because I wanted to be well. To have kids as much as anything, you know, that's the truth. I obviously did, I knew that I couldn't pass on my dysfunction. So that was the catalyst.
And it's so strange for me sitting here as a kind of, you know, we were in and around the same circles, and you, for me, I'm crying because this is how what I do. but you, I just look back at all those times, and you, for me, would have been one of the people that I saw as being super popular and cool and having a great time, and it just shows the madness of it, doesn't it?
It does just show the madness of it.
And I'm like in my mind going around various situations, you know, house parties, hanging out at the bus park, and just thinking, wow, what was the internal dialogue for all those people, and this kind of feeling that we all could have helped one another if we'd even have had the language to do it. But we were young,
exactly. And I don't know about you, but I, especially given what I work in now, I find it difficult to say this, because it, in the space that I work in, because of course, so many of us, you know, and actually so many women and men far worse than me have had really very severe, terrifying life experiences. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, I always come back to a space where I just feel like everything happens for a reason. If you can, as I said before, go with the flow. I mean, I am here talking to you because of what's happened to me. Mm. You know, I've written my book because of what's happened to me. So although I wouldn't wish it on anyone, and I certainly wouldn't go back and say, yes, please, I'll choose that again, I can absolutely see that my life has unfolded in a way that has allowed me to learn and grow from these horrible things and from my mistakes. Our entire system has built itself around protecting you, as I said before, and finding threats. So you're basically only noticing the problems, the things that might go wrong, how crap you are, what you haven't done. And that is not you. So I know it might feel like it's you, but it's not you. That is a pattern of perception that has come directly from the trauma. So to heal, we have to begin looking over here. So it's really simple stuff is, you know, on a somatic level, it's sitting in the sun and really feeling it and trying to expand that good feeling. And even if you're in huge freeze response, huge collapse, huge freeze response or fight response, then I'll say to people, where's the safe place? Mm. Where in your body, where feels okay? Nowhere feels okay. I absolutely promise you, that's somewhere, even if it's just your butt cheek, somewhere feels okay. So we move to that space and then we expand it. So there may be odd examples, but I'm trying to explain that what we do is we're trying to just gently rebalance and widen. You're supposed to call it the window of tolerance. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of official somatic name for it, but I call it the lovely middle space, because that's where we're trying to regulate back to. Mm-hmm. So you may be down here in freeze, you may be up here in fight flight at multiple times during the day. How can we move you back gently into this lovely middle space?
Mm. When my anxiety got the worst, I suddenly got this crippling fear of going on the tube from nowhere. Which I now understand why, it's control. And it was terrible. And then I did a lot of CBT and then I went skiing and got stuck in a ski lift, which if this is your fear, I was like, well, now the worst possible thing has happened and I'm fine. I need to have proof points to myself. And as you say, you have to spot them as you, in a day's parenting, when you feel utterly out of control, but actually in the shower in the morning you feel great. Like, even if it's this 3 minutes, there was a moment where I feel comfortable, and you just begin to loop those proof points back to yourself, don't you?
You do, exactly. And because I think so many of us, we do live in this very black and white everything's awful, everything's okay. You often find, I mean, that's really, I'm using addiction speak there, but they're overlaid. You know, if you've got a trauma history, it's not that everyone's an addict, but trauma is all about kind of, you develop these habits, these pathways that become really deeply ingrained, which sounds a lot like addiction, doesn't it? It's not necessarily, I'm not talking about substances, but what you find is that people become stuck. Mm-hmm. That's the word we use for trauma, isn't it? So they become stuck in these pathways and in these behaviors, these thoughts, these feelings, which is very addictive. We all become addicted to that space. Mm. It's very uncomfortable for people. If you're used to overthinking, and I dare to suggest to a client, how about we practice not doing that? It's so deeply wedded to who they are that it's so hard to separate from, and even suggest that they have a choice over it.
Yeah.
Where can people? I'm everywhere, really. So where am I? So my website is www.sarahwoodhouse.com, and Instagram and Facebook, I'm at the Sarah Woodhouse. And on Twitter, I'm at SN_Woodhouse.
There you go. You can find her in those places.